Where are you, Christmas? Where are you, midwinter holiday? Is a question lots of us ask ourselves lots of times. In the Grinch story, from which this song comes, from the movie version, it is said, maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe it means just a little bit more. But that's so hard to find because the stores are so with us. So many times we are just bombarded with all that tells us we must buy and we must go to the store, and that is what it is. But it's not. And this morning, the Booth musicians and I are here to propose different ways that we might find Christmas, that we might find Hanukkah, that we might find Kwanzaa, that we might find solstice, that we might find the wisdom of these midwinter days. One of the ways we can do it is in nature, and such a day to find it in nature. Every morning when I come to the office on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays, the first thing I do is go out to the grove, our wonderful, wonderful, magical grove, through all of its seasons. And now, the grove is bare, the grove is sparse, you can see in and out of the grove, it's in its winter dress. In fact, I'd like to go out there while it's snowing. And there is a poem by Laura Lush telling us that we can find part of the spirit of the midwinter holidays by being in nature. She says, it's called The First Day of Winter. On the first day of winter, the earth awakens to the cold touch of itself. Snow knows no other recourse except this falling, this sudden letting go over the small gnomed bushes, all the emptying trees. Snow puts beauty back into the withered and malnourished, into the death wish of nature and the deliberate way winter insists on nothing less than deference. Waiting all its life, snow says, let me cover you. One of the places where we find Christmas, where we find the true spirit of midwinter, is in solitude, is in nature, is stopping by the woods on a snowy evening. And sometimes we also find it in our connections, in the rituals and the traditions that we, that our families, that our religious organizations have created over the years. Our church has decked the halls, which ushers in with children and adults 12 days of Christmas, so the season actually arrives. We have our silent Quaker-style service that we'll have next week. We have Christmas Eve service. We celebrate the solstice. All those are the traditions and the rituals of this particular church. I have always been enormously grateful that I could bring my family's ritual that meant so much to me for all of my years of growing up, where on Christmas Eve, we go out and find the brightest place in the heavens, even if it's totally overcast, even if it's snowing or blizzarding, we find the Christmas star. We find the Bethlehem star. And then we say what we hope for the coming year. And I've had the great gift of all these 20 years of being able to take this cherished family tradition and take it into our church, and we all go outside and look for the Christmas star. One of the groups in our world that has very, very strong connections are the Jews. The Jews are a tribe. Whether they are meeting together in a synagogue, whether they live far apart from other Jews, all Jews know that they belong to a tribe. And they have a midwinter celebration. It's actually a minor celebration in the Jewish calendar, but I think it was developed in defense against Christmas for the Jewish children and the Jewish families, of Hanukkah, celebrating one of the many, many times that the Jewish heart had to rise up and triumph over oppression. Judas Maccabeus and his family and his folks were oppressed, and they were fighting the Syrians. They were besieged, and they only had enough oil for one day. They had to have more oil for their lamps if they were going to be able to live out the siege and overcome and triumph. There was no oil. Magically. No, not magically. Because of divine intervention and divine providence, the oil lamp lasted for all 8 days. And therefore, to this day, the Jews and some of the rest of us celebrate the 8 days of Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights. Triumph of the Spirit in midwinter and at other times. In this dark time of the year, we reflect on oppression that has happened to the Jews. And there's a holiday named Kwanzaa, which causes us to reflect on another kind of oppression, which is very close to the heart of the American experience. The African-American experience in America has been one of slavery and oppression and racism, even unto this day. Many steps have been made forward, but we all know that there is racism still in this world, and that the position of an African-American in our country is one of having to look out a good deal. We rejoice that we have a president who is African-American, and hope that that will bring forth great new strides in the understanding and embracing of all that we Unitarian Universalists feel so strongly about. Nevertheless, it's been hard to create community. And only in 1994 was the celebration of Kwanzaa founded. A celebration that is founded strictly for Africans, either Africans in Africa or Africans in the diaspora, who are African Americans or African Anglo-African or in other parts of the world. It is not a religious celebration, it's a celebration, a time 10 days before the beginning of the new year to reflect on character, on unity, on ethics, on integrity. And the song that's going to be sung next, the words tell us something about Kwanzaa. It says, Kwanzaa is a time for learning, learning of the history. Kwanzaa looking to the future, building of our community. Kwanzaa lighting 7 candles, light them with a family. Kwanzaa is a celebration using creativity. Let's sing a song for Kwanzaa. Let's pull together for unity. A song for Kwanzaa, Harambe, Harambe. Symbols standing for the struggles, shining for all of us to see. Children are the hope and the promise of society. And in a writing written by the founder of this holiday, he says that on the day of meditation in Kwanzaa, there is one day where you're supposed to be quiet and reflective. It says each person, now this is for African Americans, and we cannot appropriate their holiday. We cannot be that holiday. But we can take a lesson from what this says. It says, on that day we must answer soberly and humbly the 3 questions, who am I? Am I really who I say I am? And am I all I ought to be? It is of necessity a time to recommit ourselves to our highest ideals, in a word, to the best of what it means to be both African and human in the fullest sense. And may we, in this season and in all seasons, devote ourselves to what it means to be human in the fullest sense. As we're together in this community on this lovely day, trying to answer the question, where are you Christmas? Where are you midwinter holiday? Do we feel our hearts growing just a little from the anxiety and the stress that are so often what we associate with the holiday?
There is a concept that is unspeakably dear to everyone that we always hope is associated with this time of year. Home. Home. One of the most poignant words of any language. Home is a place where we can be safe. Home is a place where we can be ourselves. Some of us, growing up, had wonderful homes. Maybe in little towns. Hayfork, California. Who knows? Wonderful places that we can always go back to with our minds and our hearts and our imagination. Some of us did not. Some of us cannot go back with our hearts and our heads to our early homes. And for those of us, we can only hope, we can only pray that we create homes for ourselves and our families and those close to us as our lives go on. What we hope at this midwinter time and at all times is that everyone, everyone has a home. We ask that each one of us carries in our hearts enough home that everyone who comes in contact with us will feel its warmth and will feel its love. And now we come to the naughty problem of gifts. Just as our hearts have been relaxing and growing under the influence of music, reflecting on the true meaning of the season, we think about those presents. They often are the heart of the problems that we have. And in the Grinch story, it says maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. It doesn't always. And yet I'd like to also speak up for the nature of a gift that comes from a store can be perfectly fine. It can be just right. A true gift, the gifts that count are the ones that come from the heart. My husband, Bob, who happens to be here today, is a brilliant person giving gifts from the heart. Once we were at a very large gift bookstore in, I think it was, Auburn or Grass Valley, California. Was it Grass Valley? Grass Valley. And I saw a copy of the Koran, which is just beautiful. It had a bright green cover and gold and black lettering on it, and I didn't have a copy of the Koran, but it was kind of expensive, so I didn't buy it. So we went on our trip. This was in the summertime, and we went on our trip, and we got home, and we went on with life, and my birthday came up in September, and guess what I got for my birthday? I got that copy of the Koran. He had dashed off to a phone when we stopped for gas after Grass Valley. I called them and had them send it to his office. That was a gift from the heart. And that is the true nature of gifts. A gift can be our presence. A gift can be the result of our creativity. A gift can be our love, our laughter. A gift can be something as simple as a little boy playing his drum. So I close my remarks reading from one of the most important midwinter season scriptures we have from How the Grinch Stole Christmas. The Grinch has, in his evil way, stolen every single sign of Christmas that he could find. All the presents and the tinsel and the trappings and the wrappings. And he says, they're finding, it's morning time now, early morning. They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the who's down in Whoville will all cry, boo-hoo. That's a noise, grinned the Grinch, that I simply must hear. So he paused. And the Grinch put his hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow, It started in low, then it started to grow, but the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes, then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day.